I'm David Sedaris from the United States, and I travel with Rick Steves. Wait. Je voyage. Right? Oui. Would I say je voyage souvent, de temps en temps, je voyage avec Rick Steves?
Wow. You've picked up that French very well.
De temps en temps, pas toujours, mais de temps en temps, je voyage avec mon ami Rick Steves.
You got to sound like Maurice Chevalier or something, and it's actually good, or Inspector Clouseau.
Well, so many Americans, too. You know, like I've got a friend in Paris, probably the least self-conscious person I know. In El parle français comme ça.
Yeah.
And when you go to a restaurant, excusez-moi, mais j'ai commandé la salade niçoise sans la tune. Oh.
France is a great place for those who love the outdoors. The varied geography provides just the right setting for about every type of outdoor sports and recreation you can imagine, from sailing and swimming in warm Mediterranean waters to cycling at your own pace along a centuries-old canal path, and even skiing at Olympic venues high in the Alps. Joining us to take your calls at 877-333-7425 is Virginie Moret. She's a professional tour guide based in France, and right now, she's our coach and exercise partner as we get out and about in France. Virginie, thanks for joining us.
Bonjour, Rick. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, now you're a guide in France and you take a lot of Americans around, and we expect to see the urban aspect of the French people. Tell us about the love of outdoors of French people.
Well, definitely. We have to actually do some activities to just lose the calories we got with the croissant and all of the butter that we have. And what we have to keep in mind is that many of our figures known for sports are actually from France. Coubertin, Baron Pierre de Coubertin, actually created the modern Olympics.
That's right. So that was what, 1890-something?
1904 was the first one.
First modern Olympics done thanks to a Frenchman.
So we do have some active people in France. We're not just eating all the time. And then you obviously know about Cousteau, even though he did not invent. I mean, scuba diving started in the U.S., but he actually invented the new form, what we actually put on when we go scuba diving. So we do have some famous figures in France. We know we have artists, but we do have sports figures.
And you're
also
a scuba diver?
I'm a scuba diver also.
And if you're a scuba diver, and if you're enthusiastic about scuba diving and you're going to France, what can you do?
Well, the good thing about France is that we do have a very varied geography. So we have a lot of coast, and you could go in cold water in Brittany, or you could go to Corsica and you would see different things underwater. Whether you're snorkeling or scuba diving, enjoying the coast is something that the French love to do. And they usually, especially when it gets hot in Paris, they like to go by the coast.
That's right. You got all the way from the English Channel, basically, down to Italy and Corsica.
Definitely. A lot of kayaking and lots of things, windsurfing that you can do by the sea. So either you're an avid outdoor person, very active, or you can just relax and take a sailboat and learn how to sail.
Now, when you think of beach activity and sailboats, I also think of canals in France. There's a lot of canals, and perhaps the most exercise you're going to get is cranking open the locks.
Definitely, walking out of the boat and back into the boat, but you can also bike along the canal, and it's very easy biking because the canals are flat.
So this would be gentle outdoor activity. You
Definitely.
Go on a canal ride, and you take a week on the canals of France. They used to be industrial, now they're recreational. Mm-hmm. What sort of activities would you enjoy if you're on a canal for a vacation?
Well, in between your meals, which are going to be very important, you're there to socialize and just enjoy the food. So you could hop off the barge and go for a walk, go talk to the person who is in charge of the lock, go to the small village, either by bike. You could have a bike on the boat and take your bike. And walking. The French are big on walking, too.
And we got to remember, in the old days, along riverways and canals, there were towpaths. Mm-hmm. Where the donkeys or the people would pull the boats.
Yes, definitely.
And today they're not pulling boats anymore, but you can use that to take a walk or a bike ride.
Definitely. And they're everywhere in France. You have the Canal de Nantes à Brest in Brittany, and then you have the Canal du Midi, which is more famous. So everywhere you could be doing this kind of activities in France.
This is Travel with Rick Steves, and we're talking about outdoor adventures to burn off some of those calories because we're going to be eating really well in France. And our guest is a French guide, Virginie Moret. Virginie, when you think about France, you think of beautiful parks, and I also think about signs that say, stay off the grass in the beautiful parks. What is it with French and beautiful parks, but don't go on the grass?
Well, we like to keep our grass pretty clean. But you know, I have a nice shot I took in the Jardin du Luxembourg in Paris. And it's actually the sign on the foreground. And then we have a bunch of teenagers just
playing frisbee
playing
and having
frisbee.
A picnic.
And the grass is still perfectly cut and green.
Yeah.
And they did stay there for a long time, and they were French, so it is something that we try to have, the neat French lawn, garden, but...
So you have your nice, beautiful parks with the beautiful flower beds and the wonderful, you know, mansion nearby and the monuments and the art and the statues. And you also have opportunity to enjoy that while jogging. Americans love to go out jogging. Is this popular in France?
This is something that's starting to... A little bit of starting in France, but we don't really do a lot of sports like jogging or going to the gym. We do a lot more hiking.
Well, tell us about that, the randonnée, right?
The randonnée, definitely. We had what we call the GR, G-R, and we have two very famous ones. The most famous and one of the hardest in France is the GR 30, which is in Corsica. You can cross Corsica, and this will be a lot of adrenaline.
So this, there's a lot of mountains in Corsica.
Definitely. Or you can take it easy. Some parts of it are easier.
So randonnée. R-O-R-A-N-D-O-N-E-E-S?
Double N, E with the accent, E-S.
Okay, and that means
hiking.
Long hiking. Not just
hiking.
A hike, but mm-hmm. Is it just hiking or are there long routes?
Marche à pied is just when you go walking. Randonnée doesn't mean you take a backpack, but you are going to go hiking for a long time. It doesn't have to be going up the mountains, but...
So the Corsica is a beautiful place for some wild mm-hmm. hiking. Where else would you like to hike?
The other place, and I'm being biased, being from Brittany, but we have a long coast. We talked about that. And we do have the GR 34 and 34. They're numbered.
Oh, number 34.
34.
So trail number 34.
And it goes...
The trail number 34. Very good.
And it goes all along the coast of Brittany, and it would be about a 1,000 miles.
Now that is a beautiful route. I've done a little bit of that just exploring in my car and over the years, and the rugged coast, if you like the Oregon coastline mm-hmm. in the United States, check out the coastline of Brittany.
Definitely. And the origin of those were actually for a Coast Guard.
Why would it be for
the Coast Guard? The Coast Guard were actually checking that the British were not.
You know,
we had someone checking.
Coast Guard.
We're talking about a long time ago.
Yeah.
And there were people on those trails.
So that's a military trail or road.
Military or actually they were checking, just making sure that they didn't see boat and then they could walk all along the coast.
Oh,
and you can actually hike nowadays.
If you got the English just across the water, you need that.
Definitely.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're looking at things from a French perspective here with Virginie Moret. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. We're talking about getting out and getting some exercise in France. And Nicole is on the line from Victoria in British Columbia. Nicole, thanks for your call.
Yes. Hello. A question about cycling in France. Something gentle for people who don't cycle very often, such as myself, and particularly routes that include visits to wineries.
Definitely. Mm. Bonjour first. Cycling, you first have to figure out what kind of wine you like. What's your favorite wine? Do you know?
No, I'm still learning about that.
Well, definitely. Then France is a good place to learn, and cycling at the same time is a good way to burn those calories we were talking about. And Burgundy is a nice place because you don't have too many mountains, so it's never going to be something too hard, and you can make definitely stops at different wineries.
I've done that in Burgundy, and it is wonderful. Nicole, there are so many beautiful little villages and proud houses in the country that are famous for their wine, and they open up to visitors. And there's beautiful little back lanes and bike paths and so on, and plenty of places to rent bikes. Also, Alsace would be good.
Alsace would be nice to try different white wines. And the good thing with the road system in France is that you can always avoid the big roads. So you're not going to have the traffic. You're going to have the small roads on the side just for you.
This is so French. We're talking about bike riding. Well, if you like white wine, you go to Alsace. And if you like red wine, you go to Burgundy. There you go. Have a good time, Nicole.
Bye-bye. Au revoir.
Bye.
And Karen's on the line in Greenville, Texas.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hello.
I just had a quick question. My husband has always wanted to ride part of the Tour de France for his 50th birthday. And I was just wondering if there were any places to find out what, because I know that, you know, tours at different places each year, if there would be a good place for a 50 to 100-mile ride.
Hmm.
Well, they do give the schedule ahead of time, and it's a long, long race. And,
And what is it? It's 3,600 kilometers. So that would be about 2,200 miles.
Yes.
All over France. And they get it, you know, you got your level stretches and you got your very mountainous stretches.
That's what I was wondering, because we were wondering about a mid thing, you know, not the mountains.
You can definitely check their website. And the website, they do have nice graphics that shows the elevation, how much of the elevation you're going to gain. And it shows you the distance. And you could do it after or before the people, actually, but not with them.
The route changes every time, doesn't it?
The route changes. It always finishes in Paris, but the route changes every time. And that's a very good way to discover France. And people in France love to receive the Tour de France in their hometown because it's good
business.
It brings a lot of tourists. People love cycling in France, like Americans love cycling too.
The only real place that's the same with every Tour de France is that Champs-Élysées stretch. They do it, what, 10 mm-hmm. or 12 times back
yes,
and forth from the Place de la Concorde up to the Arc de Triomphe, back and forth and back and forth. You could do that if you wanted to.
Definitely. That would be, for sure, this one you would do. But Karen, if you go on the website, letourdefrance.fr, I'm sure something similar to this, I would think maybe 6 to 9 months before you would find a small place.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
But
Karen, thank you.
Karen, you could probably drive any bit of road in France, and sooner or later it's going to be a stretch of the Tour de France. Every time it's a different route.
Definitely.
That's true.
Have fun on your trip.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
And Paul's on the line in Kailua, Hawaii. Paul, thanks for your call.
Oh, hi, Rick. Thank you. Hey, I had a question about skiing. I've had a great time going to Chamonix for a couple days. And then I went to Val di Zarentina for 2 weeks and a week in Les Menuires in the Trois Vallées. And I wondered if you guys could recommend another place for me to try out.
Virginie, what about skiing in France?
I've done a lot of skiing in the United States. But in France, what you have is all of the opportunity of taking the lift. So have you been to the Thousand Lift place? It's in between France, Italy, and Switzerland.
Thousand Lift? What is that?
Thousand Lift. You actually have Thousand Lift. So you can actually take a lift. You don't have to use your car or anything like that. You can be actually skiing for days on, going from small chalet to small chalet with your skis. And you actually never have to go back to your hotel or take a car or anything like this or a bus because you have 1,000 lifts, ski lifts.
Literally 1,000 lifts. Mm-hmm. So it's many different areas connected in one ticket.
Yes, definitely.
It's in different countries also?
Between Italy, Switzerland, and France.
All around Mont Blanc?
All around the area. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that sounds great.
So you do get a lot of, you know, there are a lot of things that you could actually be doing.
You can't say you're bored with the same lift every day.
Definitely not.
And you have mountain chalets.
So
and fondue.
It's actually, I have friends in Switzerland and they're a lot into skiing. They do that from age two and they just love doing this because it's, you know, you get, as long as you get further away, you get less people at the lift and you get a different atmosphere of being the only one on top of the world over there. So,
but you always have a nice restaurant waiting for you in the
definitely
evening.
Definitely, you'll have a way to have food. We have to after a day of skiing. So I'm sure you'll find out there are lots of places. You've already had pretty experience. You had the nice places, Chamonix, Val d'Isère, all of that.
Oh, that was great.
Hey, Paul, what was it like skiing in Chamonix? Wow. I love hiking in Chamonix. What was it like skiing there? Did you go up to a Guy du Midi? Do people go up to a Guy du Midi?
I did that last summer, but I didn't do it on skis. And I kind of feel bad that I didn't. Although I have to say the entrance into it looks really intimidating. But I hear in winter they put a cable up and you can hook onto it.
To get down from a Guy du Midi, you mean?
Yes, to get down from the exit to the floor of the Vallée Blanche.
Yeah.
The first couple hundred meters, it's not for the faint of heart.
No, I can't imagine. That's as high as you can get mechanically in Europe. That's, I believe, 12,600 feet above sea level. It's amazing. You're looking over at Mont Blanc.
And Paul, being from Hawaii, next time you go, you know, in the summer in France, and if you go to Mont Blanc, I mean, a challenge for you could be to ski down in a swimsuit. I've actually had a friend who did that. So you may look, so, you know, you don't have to pack a different suitcase for you. It could be a good idea.
A beach bum from Hawaii skiing down Mont Blanc. They'll be in the newspaper.
Hey, I have to tell you, I have a great story from Chamonix.
What's that?
And this was like my first trip to France in 30 years. And I was hell-bent, bound, and determined to walk out of this ski shop with a pair of rental skis without speaking a word of English. So I got out my pocket dictionary, and I read a couple of lines, and I walked in, and I started speaking my really bad French, and I kept looking up words. The guy was trying to ask me, you know, what I needed and everything, and finally, after about 5 minutes of this, he breaks down and says, hey, dude, what do you need? I speak perfect English. What do you want?
That's so often the case, isn't it? You do your best in French, you almost fail, and they go, okay, you're home free. We'll speak English with you.
But the French love it, that you try.
Yeah. Oh, but that's the best. He did so much. He said, I have so many people come in here, they expect because they have money that I'm going to adapt my store and my country to their wallets. And here you come in my store, and you respect my culture, and you make the best effort. What can I do for you? He gave me a great deal. He said, oh, forget the coupon from the hotel. I have a better price for you.
Oh, very nice.
And here, come look at this. It's snowing tonight, but it's windy. So we have to look at the map, and I will show you where the snow will blow up the valley, and you can find this tomorrow where nobody else can find.
Oh, now, you made a friend, and you got an insider's tip.
Gave me a great price and the insider tip. And I'll tell you, in Hawaii, they ain't telling you where the secret break is.
Thanks, Paul, for your call, and
thank
happy
you.
Travels.
Okay, thank you very much for your help with that suggestion.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
And Ed's on the line in Sanford, Florida. Ed, thanks for your call.
Hi, Rick. Great show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to remind visitors of the wonderful Pyrenees and how easy it is to get to them from the Lourdes side.
So let's remind our listeners, the Pyrenees are the great mountains that separate France and Spain. And a lot of people go to Lourdes for the pilgrimage site and the miracle site there, Lourdes. And just next to that is the Cirque de Gavarnie. What a beautiful place. Have you been there, Ed?
Yes, we were there last summer in Lourdes. We got to do our own mini tour of the mountains.
What kind of tours? Hiking tours?
Hiking tours.
Okay.
The one for the Cirques, which is mountains. In one day, we visited all three, the Gavarnie, Astaube, and Tremouse. And it was wonderful. I have never seen such a mountain formation. The Cirques are called Cirques because they're kind of semicircular bowls.
Yeah.
They're solid walls.
Oh,
on the other side, you can see the Monte Perdido, which is the Spanish side of the national park on the Spain side.
I'll never forget being at the base of the Cirque de Gavarnie, and you've got that sort of a mountain amphitheater all around you and a beautiful meadow and all these dramatic peaks around you, and you just were in Lourdes where all the pilgrims are, and it's just a powerful, beautiful experience. And you'd recommend it as a base for hiking then?
Let's remind people that the highest waterfall in France is located right there in Gavarnie, at the base of the Cirque de Gavarnie.
You know, there's a lot of the greatest hikes are in the Pyrenees, and people don't respect that. The Alps are so famous, but we should be sure to check out the Pyrenees. Thanks, Ed, for your call.
Okay, thank you. Have a good day.
Yeah. I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We've been talking with Virginie Moret, and we're talking about the way to enjoy France in the outdoors. Virginie, just let's wrap it up with your advice. If you were welcoming one of our listeners to your home country, what would you do to distinguish your trip by enjoying the outdoors of France?
So whether you like the ocean or you like the mountains, France has really a lot of luck with the geography. We have everything. So if you're more an ocean person and you would like to glide on quiet, not rough seas in Brittany, not too often, but it does happen that it's not rough, I would advise kayaking Les Sept Îles. Les Sept Îles, which is the seven islands on the north coast of Brittany. We even have seals there.
Kayaking.
So you could
on
be
the
kayaking.
Islands off the coast of Brittany.
Mm-hmm. And observe wildlife and seals. This is something that Americans enjoy in their backyard, but we do have this in France too. If you're more into the mountains, but not the high mountain, the Massif Central, which is in the center of France, are old volcanoes. And if you're into something extreme and enjoying the sunrise, maybe paragliding, the Massif Central mountains, old mountains, volcanoes, would make something of your trip very different.
Sounds like a way to distinguish your adventures in France. Virginie Moret, thank you so much for helping
us out. Thank you so much, Rick.
And I'll see you. I think I'll choose kayaking.
Okay, sounds good.
See you there.
Bye-bye.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced by Tim Tatton with Sarah McCormick and Isaac Kaplan-Wolner at Europe Through the Back Door in Edmonds, Washington. Thanks for website help to Andrew Wakeling and Kate Mulhern-Graham. Our theme music is by Jerry Frank. You can chat with Rick and his guests in our next recording sessions for Travel with Rick Steves. Go to the radio section of our website at ricksteves.com. Include your email address in the link on the right-hand side of the page, and then we can notify you of our next set of recording dates and topics. That's where you can join us as a caller on the show. And we'll look for you again next week with more Travel with Rick Steves.
Travel with Rick Steves is made possible in part by the European Union delegation to the USA. The European Union received the 2012 Nobel Peace Prize for promoting peace, human rights, and democracy. Information available at euintheus.org.